watch your sex. This is Dr. Herbert R. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. What is your sex? Now, if anyone were to ask us such a question, our answer would be the perfect indication of where our consciousness is, of where our attitude is. And at the breakfast table this morning, I was sitting here with three beautiful women, and I was discussing their sex life. And I said, "Sylvia, what is your sex?" And Sylvia said, "Well, I'm a female, and I'm one of the more outstanding females of the female species." And I said, "Ellen, what's your sex?" And Ellen says, "Well, I've been married. I didn't ask you that. I said, what's your sex?" And Ellen says, "Oh, my sex is, yes, I'm a woman. I'm a female. I'm a female sex." I said, "Hey, that's all right. Now, Ingeborg, what's your sex?"
"Sex is the gender."
And so Ingeborg has to come up with some intellectual response. Sex is a gender, male or female. And, of course, she's absolutely right. Now, in the book of most people and in the movies that are available on our screens these days, sex is intercourse. Sex is manipulation of men or manipulation of women. You know, it goes both ways. And sex is control of reproduction and wanting to have babies and wanting to have kittens and dogs and cats. And you got to have a female cat and a male cat to have baby cats. And the baby cats are not necessarily female or male. They are maybe male or female. But the thing is, you got to have a female and a male to have baby male or female cats. Now, who wants a baby cat?
Yeah.
Sylvia says, "I." And then I give her a baby cat, and she says, "I got to watch after it all the time. I got to take care of it. I got to keep it inside of a pen. I don't want to piss and shit all over my house and stuff like this." Oh, excuse me. Sylvie doesn't use the word shit. She uses the word defecation. You know. So she doesn't want the cat to defecate all over her house, the little baby kitten. And I say, "Well, isn't the kitten a lot of fun?" "Yeah, it's a lot of fun. But when I get the kitten excited, then the kitten piddles, you know, and all over my carpet. And then I got to wipe it up, because if I don't, then it'll have an odor. And I have to live there in that house with that odor, so I can't allow that to happen. So I've got to be on top of everything." Now, what is sex all about? We all have preconceived ideas of sex and what sex does in our life and how we respond to sex and what we think of it and so forth. And we're all in a very sad state of affairs. And the sad state of affairs is that we don't realize that sex is just a word, three-letter word, not even a four-letter word, you know, just a three-letter word. And all that it means is, what is our gender? What is it that we are? And it has no other meaning other than that. Now, if you go into the dictionary in Wikipedia and you look up the word sex, you'll find it has 1,800 uses. It'll be pure sex, you know, and then it goes sexy, sexier, sexist, and all sorts of things that go down the line with it. Now, if we really could be fabulous people and return to our original purity and integrity, wouldn't that be interesting? If we could return to our original sex, what would it be?
No sex.
What would it be? If we return to our original sex, we would return to a pure symbol. And the pure symbol for a woman is female sex, and for a man is male sex. And actually, everyone is a hermaphrodite. Mm-hmm. Everyone is both sex. So, is sex your organ, or is sex your beingness, your makeup? Is it your physiology? And, of course, sex is your physiology. Because in every man and every woman, they have the various genes that are supposed to belong to one or the other. and one is more dominant than the other, and that's what brought out the different types of actions in the creation of the being. But why did that happen? It doesn't matter. Essentially, within every man and every woman are both sexes. Beautifully, cleanly, wonderfully, magnificently there. Now, why is it that women create themselves as women and men create themselves as men from infants on, from the time that you're in the womb, and they say, I wonder what it's going to be? Well, how strong are your X chromosomes and your Y chromosomes that make the difference? Well, no. What is it that you, as an eternal being, want to express on this life plane? Do you want to live your life as a woman in the limited body of a woman? Or do you want to live your life as a man in the limited body of a man? Or do you want to live your life as a universal being? Mm-hmm. With all the male, all the female aspects to your being, and just be the allness. Now, you say, you don't mean that. Because if you'd mean that, what you would say was, that's what I am. You see, that's what you are. You're not want to be it, but the thing is, you tend to think of yourself as a woman or a man, and so you tend to act in that way. And sure, you may have the organs for a woman or a man, but immaterial. A lot of men have men's organs, and they think they're a woman, you know, and they want to be a woman, and women who want to be men. Now, what happened? What happened? Well, somewhere along the line, they didn't realize that they were supposed to be the divine woman in a woman's body. Now, the divine woman is neither masculine nor feminine. The divine woman is all. Now, the divine man is all. I say to people, relative to their marriages and relative to their relationships with one another and just being friends, so I say, what are you? Are you the ideal man? Are you the ideal woman? If you are the ideal woman, you will be yourself and have fun no matter who you're with, no matter what you're doing. And anybody around you is going to be an ideal person just like you are, because you are living from your ideal center. And as long as you live from your ideal center, male, female, it makes no difference. Your sex doesn't make any difference. The thing that makes the difference is, are you the ideal whatever you chose to be? Are you the ideal man, the ideal woman? Are you the ideal child? Oh, you have no troubles there. The little children are the ideal children. You can be sure of that. They do whatever they want to do. Their imagination is so fantastic, they can play with nothing and be playing with everything. They are so illumined. They are so grand. They are so innocent. They are so naive. They are so fantastic. Because they have not yet taken on the human attitude of judgment and determining whether you are one thing or another. Now, you be a nice boy. Mother, what's wrong with you? Don't ever say to your child, now you be a nice boy. Herb, don't get so excited about it. My gosh, you blow a gasket. No, mother, you say to your child, you are a nice boy. I am always so proud of you, regardless of what he does. And you keep saying that, regardless of what he does. And pretty soon, he will say, I don't think she really means I'm a nice boy when I do bad things. I think she means I'm a nice boy because I'm a nice boy. And pretty soon, he's going to start being that nice boy because you cannot have anything around you that's not a nice boy. You, as a mother, could not bring forth a child that was not ideal. The ideal child from an ideal mother, from an ideal woman. Huh? From an ideal man. The sooner we start thinking, talking, and acting in our ideal frame of mind, the sooner we begin having magic take place in our life, we begin having wonderment take place in our life, and we begin having all of the things taking place in our life as being what we are, a reflection of how grand and glorious we are. But I guarantee you, if you're living in a barrel of shit, you're in a barrel of shit. Better climb out. Rinse off. That's all it does. Rinse off. Leave it behind. And then go on. Go on. Yesterday here on the mountain, we had a very beautiful experience. Just a glorious, glorious, glorious experience. The sky had been overcast all day long, just covered with a black cloud all day long. It wasn't very pleasant weather. The weather was just ideal, 73, 4 degrees. It was lovely. And so, then, at supper time, the sky decided to open up. And it sent down its raindrops for us. And we looked out the dining room window up to the swimming pool. We could see it piddling into the pool. And it was just glorious. It was just glorious. We saw it as it was watering every plant on the mountainside. And then I said, Ellen, go look out the living room window. And Ellen says, where's the living room? I mean, she never thinks of the living room in the monastery as the living room. She just thinks of it as the living room, whatever she thinks of it. I don't know. The big room with the fireplace and davenports and chairs and stuff. So she goes into the living room and she looks out the window and the sun is coming from the west, shining through the raindrops that are coming down, so beautiful, just so lovely. And then I said, Ellen, go to the patio door. And so Ellen went to the patio door, and she heard the pitter-patter of the rain falling on the roof. And it was just charming as can be. I would like to hear it more often, you know. But it was charming as can be. Now, Ellen did not think one thing about anything except the rain and how glorious it was. And I said, Ellen, I think I left the window open on the Jeep. And she says, oh. And then, I don't know, oh yeah, then she goes out on the front deck here and she says, Herb, look. And she brings my shoes in, soaking wet, you know, just filled with a puddle of water. And she didn't even dump the water out outside. And she says, look at your shoes, Herb, they're all wet. I said, well, dump them out and set them up there so they can dry and so on. And she did. And so I wore the wet shoes home, but it didn't hurt. They snuggled my feet real nice. But did you go and take care of the windows on the Jeep?
Not at that time.
Not at that time. So she waited until the rain stopped.
When it was all dry.
Of course.
Because she said it's in divine order.
Yeah, yeah. But I planted the seed, and I wondered which crop she planned on harvesting, you know?
Right.
So this is who you are. Do you harvest a crop, when I say sex, of all of the horrendous things you think, hear, and know about sex? Or do you harvest all the crops of the delightful procreative aspects of sex and its joyful experience between lovers? Or do you respect that sex is a gender and that it's a male or female? Or you know, where do you go? What game are you playing? What route are you going? The little boy walks in the house and is a mean little kid, and you say, that's not acceptable around here. That's not acceptable activity around here. And the kid says, I'll find some real things that are not acceptable. But when you look at the child, and because you are the ideal woman, you are the ideal mother, and you have only the ideal child, you say to your ideal child, you say, you always do things that make me so happy. And then go away. Don't let him look at you and think you're crazy. And then next time you see him, say, you're so thoughtful. It's just I'm so happy I have you as my son. You make me so delighted. And it doesn't take much of that sort of a treatment for him to realize that he is the
ideal
son. And when he realizes he's the ideal son, what will you have created in your world? The ideal son. And you can create the opposite if you choose, but why anyone would want to do that is only because they lose their their temper. They lose their balance. They lose their direction. They lose their recognition that they are the ideal person, ideal mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, cousin, man, girl, you know, boy, girl, man, woman, whatever, the ideal. And you just have to return. Return to the awareness of who you are. And then you'll experience it. Now, do you like yourself?
Yes.
You like sex?
Yes.
In every aspect of it, sure. Because in every aspect, it's in its
ideal
form. It's in its ideal form. Not in its hurtful form or negative form or any form that might come along like that. You know, it's only in its ideal form. Now, that's lovely, isn't it?
All right.
Yeah. So this day, you and I have a problem. We are ideal. We can only see ideal. And when we look in the dictionary, all we see are the ideal words, the ideal definition. When we look at life, all we see are the ideal beings and expressions. And when we look at ourselves, my goodness. You look in the mirror and you see the ideal being. And it has your name on it.
Yes.
And that's wonderful. Have a lovely day and know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.